Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to BLT, Business, Life, Transitions, the show that explores all the latest trends in your business, life, and our favorite topic, transitions. Hosted by Brian Basilico, the Director of Direction with B2B Interactive Marketing, and Jan Marino, CEO of High Gain Companies, Inc. And now it's time for some insightful conversation and interviews with your hosts, Brian and Jan.
Well, good morning, Jan.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm just fine. Happy daylight savings time. Have you adapted yet?
Yeah, we did, and then the electricity kept going off yesterday. It kept spiking. And so
spent
most of the day resetting the clock. That's just weird. I think the house could be haunted. Just saying. It could be. I doubt it. But anyway, it was just stupid because every time we get all the clocks set, and they're all electric, you know, then our electricity would spike and we'd start all over again. So anyway, that was my comment on it. So,
well, there you go. I think it's probably spiking because everybody was setting their clocks at the same time.
Okay, that's as good an excuse as anything. But I love this latest rumor that's going around, because you and I always talk before the show about, you know, what's going on that we should talk about. And usually it's the weather, and this morning it's like, no, we're going to talk about the big trade between the Bears and San Francisco, because I think Kaepernick's coming here.
Would
it?
Yeah, it would. It'd be nice. I mean, they're cleaning house, so why not keep going?
I know.
They got rid of what's his name, the
Marshall.
Receiver and Conte, Marshall and Conte.
Yeah.
So they're cleaning house. So I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about it, but you know, hey, change is good. We need some, right?
We need to win. You know what concept? Win. I think winning would be good. So
winning's
very good. So anyway, that was the big rumor that I heard this morning first thing, and it's like, oh, I don't know if that's true or not, but it sounds good. We could bring it up on the program and talk about it like the big boys do on their programs.
Right. So you want to change this to a sports show, huh?
No.
Look, the whole concept of what we talk about is transitions, right? So it would fit. It totally would work.
Well, I guess it would, except that, you know, I nod off when you start talking about all, you know, all the statistics and all that. It's like, who cares, really? Honestly, I don't care.
They do.
I just don't
they
care.
Yeah,
I know
just...
they do. And
so,
we
anyways,
somebody this morning who really cares.
Yeah, that's true. So Barry's with us. Hey, Barry, are you a sports fan?
I am here, and thank you for having me. And just, I was excited, Jan, when you talked about the big trade, because I am originally from New York, and I thought you were going to congratulate me for having Brandon Marshall.
There you go. Well, congratulations. You know, my husband's from the Bronx, and he wasn't all that thrilled about the Brandon Marshall trade, but hey.
Well, we appreciate the generosity of the Bears giving us a receiver for a 6th-round draft pick. So thank you.
I know, isn't that funny? That is so funny. Well, I just, you know, there's never a dull moment here. And now that Mrs. McCaskill is not very happy, Mrs. McCaskill is not very happy, something has to happen. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to tick off Virginia. Let's put it that way, right?
No. And I don't think that was the word she used, but that's okay.
That's okay. So, Barry, thanks for joining us. And why don't you tell us a little bit about you? I've been looking at your – thanks for connecting up on LinkedIn and, you know, looking through your profile and all the things that you do. It looks like you've gone through a handful of transitions yourself.
Yeah, no, and thanks again for having me. So quick background is I've been working, you know, as a professional for a little over 30 years. Started my career many years ago in the New York area, and I was fortunate to be at the right place at the right time early in the technology boom. I was with a company that got acquired, and over a 12-year period, we grew a very small company to a multi-billion dollar business and ultimately sold it in 1999. So I got to experience some rapid growth in the big company world. Then I moved to Chicago in 1999 and had an opportunity to work for a global company, got to do a little bit of international travel, worked for a great company here in the U.S. running a services business. So I've mostly been in the technology professional services space. I've worked for a variety of large companies, public companies, international companies. And then about 15 years ago, I woke up and said, I'm done working for the bigger companies. I'd like to take my experience and knowledge and try to apply it to the local market here in Chicago. I'm very pleased to say after 15 years, I've been able to build a successful practice with focus on helping businesses reach their full potential. And a lot of it has to do with strategy, and more has to do with actually culture. I'm learning a lot about how culture is impacting a company's ability to grow and thrive.
So talk about that a little bit. I mean, what's when you say adapting to culture, I mean, what have you seen change as far as, over the, working from the big companies to the smaller companies now that you're working with, and what kind of challenges do they have with that? Because I think that if people are looking to get into those companies, we're trying to get a job, they need to understand some of those challenges.
Yeah, that's a great question. So when you work for a bigger company, the company is the brand. So people want to go work for a bigger company for a variety of different reasons. When you have a smaller company, it's all about the people. So it's becoming more and more challenging for small businesses to hire talented people because people are different today. The millennials today are significantly different than I was when I was, at that millennial age group. So the millennials have a total different set of skills, a total different set of expectations. So the culture piece is many business owners are baby boomers like myself. They're learning to adapt or need to learn to adapt to recruit and retain the new talent that's showing up in the marketplace. So culture is becoming an incredible component of recruiting and sustainability, in my opinion.
And so what do you find the trends are when you work with millennials? What are some, we read every day, if you really want to keep a certain age group in your organization, you have to have open office space, and you have to have this, and you have to have that. So what kind of trends are you seeing, or what kind of tips would you give to people who are looking to hire?
Yeah, so millennials don't like to be put in a box, and millennials don't think in terms of 9 to 5. They work they work different hours, and they work, different even days. So a lot of millennials are not interested in a job where you have to, clock in at 9 o'clock and clock out at 5 o'clock. They want to be coached, and they want to be led and mentored. But they need a little bit more freedom. To do their job. They understand accountability.
Mm-hmm.
If they understand what's expected of them, they'll perform. But if you treat them like they're in a box, it's not going to be a long-lasting relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've found that working with some alliance partners that I have who are in their 20s, I mean, they're amazing, and they work all the time. And the thing about it is once they understand, once the team, everybody agrees that this is what our end result is, and this is the time frame, and here's the budget. Normally, the thing goes swimmingly, and things are done, and it just seemed to work so much better because you didn't have to manage people, which is the part I really liked.
Yeah, they collaborate and communicate very differently because they've grown up with all this incredible technology and all these tools. If you try to hire a millennial and put them in an environment where the office isn't comfortable and they're not given the right tools to be successful, or you force them to use, you know, a cell phone that they don't want to use, for example. That's not going to work.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Right. So it's very, you know, once again, very different than when, you know,
yes.
when I got my first job, I was just so excited to go work somewhere.
Right.
You know, I did whatever they asked me to do. But if you could harness the power of the millennials, they're incredibly bright. They're incredibly
yes.
hardworking. And
yes.
they're so creative. And I think there's a balance. You need some, you know, like a portfolio of money. You need some percentage of your workers to be millennials so that you have the right blend of capability
right.
and expertise.
Right. So how do you help companies then, you know, put that culture together?
So that's another great question. So I think it starts, Jan, with awareness and mindfulness, right? So it's sitting down and having the conversation with the business owner about, you know, let's look at your workplace requirements and what type of person you're looking to hire. There's reasons to hire more senior people with experience, as well as reasons to hire, you know, millennials that bring, you know, maybe a specific skill set
mm-hmm.
and a different level of energy. So it starts with an awareness that, you know, we need to have a blend of people in our office that we haven't had before. And then it's an expectation of, just so you know, Mr. or Mrs. Business Owner, if you do hire Joe the Millennial, you're probably going to need to create an environment that's a little bit different, because they're not going to want to come work here if the environment isn't conducive to what a millennial wants. So it starts with mindfulness and then guiding them through the expectations from a performance perspective. And, you know, don't count the hours and the minutes when they go to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's teaching them to think differently about how to manage and setting expectations. And sometimes it's throwing out everything that you would talk from an HR perspective. It's very, very different. And if they're not willing to make that change, and I'll say to the business owner, if you're not willing to adapt the way you do things, you probably shouldn't hire someone like that, because they're not
mm-hmm.
going to stay with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's very true.
So are there any kind of trends that you're seeing happen now with businesses and the way that they're having to adapt to all of this?
The one trend we're starting to see is, well, dress code has totally changed, right? If you look in the last few years in terms of, you know, the dress code at work,
mm-hmm.
you're starting to see trends of, you know, I was reading an article this weekend with Ben and Jerry, the ice cream company, is, you know, they let people bring their dogs to work, right? So, I mean, that's a
yeah.
very, very different trend than what takes place at IBM, right? So
yeah.
people are they're loosening up the workplace. So dress code, you know, the socialization of work. They're starting to build nicer, you know, lunch areas or cafeterias at the
mm-hmm.
workplace. I know Allstate recently redid their whole headquarters, and they made
mm-hmm.
it much more conducive for younger people. So I think the workplace is changing. The dress code is changing. And this whole concept of culture, I believe, is starting to become more commonplace in dialogue now within the HR world than it was 2-3 years ago.
Yeah. Well, do you find that the military model that has been used in American business for the last 50-plus years of, you know, top-down kind of authoritarian management just has totally broken down in a lot of areas? Are you seeing that?
Yeah, absolutely. And other than certain types of businesses where that is what's needed to be successful, in collaborative environments and environments where there's a lot of interaction between employees and clients, that style is not effective and not something that I would typically recommend to a business.
Right.
But there are businesses that require that. You know, companies that are maybe life or death
mm-hmm.
in nature. It's a little bit different than, you know, being a digital marketing company.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No,
go ahead.
That's okay. I was going to say that, you know, that kind of trend, I think, is one of the hardest things that people have to learn to adapt to from an employee looking for somebody looking for a job, is they might have come from a company that had that kind of structure. And they're used to that top-down management where they're working for a particular manager and, you know, have a specific job role. And now the companies that are hiring have a completely different model, and that's I would imagine as somebody changing jobs or in the job market, that would be something they have to learn about and adapt to. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's extremely challenging for both sides, right? So people that are from that environment, it's very, very challenging for both sides because we're so used to doing things the same way, and now all of a sudden, the world has changed. So imagine a company where leadership says you're not allowed to use social media during the day. How many millennials are going to go work there?
None.
right.
Or they do it anyway and ask for forgiveness later. But I think that's. Hey, are you involved at all in this upcoming? I think it's Forbes or Fortune magazine is having a big conference here in Chicago, and it's called Reinvent American Business or something. Are you involved in that?
No, I'm not. Personally, I'm not involved. It sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah. I just wondered. And you're still doing Culture Shock?
Still doing Culture Shock. And the other thing, Jan, that we did in the fourth quarter was we started a new company called Culture Measures, which is a business that's 100% focused on helping companies understand, index, and fix their culture. So we're about to launch some products this year specific to mid-sized companies better understanding what their current culture is so that we could create a baseline or a metric to improve upon. Everybody likes this conversation around culture, but no business owner is able to answer the following question. What is the culture score of your culture today? There's been no real formal metrics out there. So we're creating an index by which to measure to so that we can then ultimately improve the culture.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's brilliant because you're right. I mean, it's social media has kind of the same issue in that, business owners want to know how do I measure it? I mean, don't see the big picture. So when are you launching that?
So the company was formed in the fourth quarter. We're releasing our product at the end of the first quarter, which will be in the next few weeks.
Okay.
And our goal is to go to business owners and say, show us how you measure your culture, of which they're going to look at you like you're talking another language.
Right, exactly.
And then we're going to share with them our model, which is let us come in, let us spend some time with your organization, let us do our assessment, and when we're done, we'll have a metric. And then once we have that metric, we'll put programs in place to help improve that metric so that we can show you an increased culture score translates directly to a healthier business. We believe strongly, and we've got evidence, that as your culture measure goes up, your financial performance will follow at some future point in time.
Right.
Could you talk a little bit about the Culture Shock Show and what that's about and where people can find that?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go to the Meet Advisors website and just look up Show Culture Shock, I created a show a few months ago with the goal of really trying to get out there and talk to people in the marketplace that are doing interesting things around culture. So my job as the host is really just to bring on great guests that have stories to tell. I've gotten a chance to share some stories with bigger companies, smaller companies, HR companies, and just individuals that see culture as being important. So I've shot 6 shows so far. Everyone's been very interesting and from a different perspective. The objective is for a business owner to be able to watch a particular show to hear how other people are addressing culture or have made changes to the culture to make the business better. And to me, it's fun. I get to be, like you guys on this show, I get to be the facilitator and ask really good questions.
Yeah, right. Yeah, his shows are, I've seen them. They're really, really good. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan. It's been a lot of fun. So anyone that's out there that has, a passion towards culture and wants to just talk about it, then I would, I'd welcome them to be a guest on the show.
Oh, for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah, for sure. I wanted to ask you briefly, there was a big article yesterday in yesterday's paper, I think it was the New York Times, about our friends at McDonald's. Do you have any advice for McDonald's?
Tell me what the context of the article was before I answer.
Oh, the article, they have a new CEO, a new president, and he's struggling with competition that's come in, and struggling with the fact that the whole market for fast food has fragmented, and they really hadn't paid attention to that. And so the gist of the article was, will he be able to turn this behemoth around? Because it seems like people have forgotten what business they're in.
My answer is really more from I think the world has changed in terms of what people like to eat, and health and fitness has become a lot more popular now than it was 20, 30 years ago. So a lot of other companies have started fast food chains that are getting a lot of press right now. So I think when I think of McDonald's, and this has nothing to do with culture, I just think of a legacy business that hasn't kept up with the times. A lot of these other chains that are even doing hamburgers and other fast food for some reason have crushed it. So I think they've lost touch with the trends of the marketplace.
Yeah.
I also think it's very regional, because what people like to eat here in Chicago is very different than what people will eat in Southern California or, up in, the New England area. So I think there needs to be a lot more, local focus on what the local market likes to eat versus expecting everybody to eat the same thing off of a generic menu.
It pop here, and they call it soda in New England. So that's
yep.
that's true. It's very true.
Yeah.
And so, what I always ask a guest, what's the number one tip that you would give your customer regarding culture, like right now? What would you say?
Yeah, great question. This also answers the McDonald's question a little bit too. So one of the things I try to encourage all business owners to do is to get feedback from the following two places. You want to get feedback from your people, right? So I call it the voice of the people. If you've got employees, and I don't care if it's one employee or thousands of employees, nothing is more important than getting feedback from your people. Many times, if not all the time, the folks that work for you know so much more than you think they know and have so much insight into ideas, you just need to ask them. So number one would be make sure you are getting feedback on a regular basis from them. The second is to do the same exact thing with your customers. So when I sit in planning meetings with clients, I'm typically sitting with the executive team. I will always ask them, if we ask your employees these questions, what would they say?
Mm-hmm.
If we asked your customers these questions, what would they say? And if they don't know the answer to them, and I would say, well, let's stop us sitting here thinking we know more than our employees and our customers. Let's go and ask them. Let's go get feedback from the people that do the work and feedback from people that buy the product or service. So same thing with McDonald's. I don't know how McDonald's went about getting feedback, but did they get feedback from their franchise owners about what changes, or are they telling their franchise owners? So voice of the people, voice of the customer, and then our job as leaders is to interpret that data to turn it into change that will make the business better. But you got to go get feedback.
Yeah.
And I would imagine most people sitting in boardrooms actually think they know the answers to those questions, right? And they're so far up base that they don't even understand it, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I learned this lesson a long time ago. I was at a company. It was a big company. And I remember specifically my boss coming up to me saying, don't think you're smarter than the customer and don't think you know more than all the employees. So I would say more than half the time decisions are made without any feedback from the employees or the customer. And I don't know that one's more important than the other. I think, you need both, because you're relying on your employees. The employees have to go deliver it and support it. The customers have to pay for it. So in my opinion, you need the balance of both voice of the people, voice of the customer, and make that part of a quarterly business process. In other words, every quarter, go out and ask for feedback from your customers and your people. Make it part of your business process like other business processes that exist.
And we're running a little short on time, but I wanted to ask you one question towards that. And what are some of the key things that you want to find out from your customers? What are the key questions that you're asking?
Just generically or around the culture topic?
Just generically.
Great question. So because I'm now so focused on culture, and I really believe it makes a huge difference, when I meet business owners, what I like to ask them is, tell me about your company's values.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you have values? Because many times I go into an office, I see that little plaque on the wall, and it's like the value statement, and no one knows what it is. Even the owner can't tell me what it is. Even the owner can't tell me what his values are, and they've been on the wall for 12 years. So what I like to ask the customers, you know, tell me about your business, tell me about your values, and what behaviors do you want your people to have to support those values? So values by themselves are not enough. We need to talk about what behaviors are acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
So I've become really fascinated by the whole culture piece from a value behavior perspective. So then when I go out and meet the rest of the people in the company, I want to confirm whether the company is behaving in a way that's consistent to the owner's values. That's typically that's my starting point.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good starting point. So, Barry, if people wanted to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Best way, there's, you know, three ways to reach me would be email, which is, you know, barry@saltzmaneg.com. They could always call me, or they could just connect with me through LinkedIn and just make reference to, you know, hearing about the show. And I love talking to people. I love learning. I love hearing about people's challenges. So I'm looking forward to meeting more great people in the marketplace.
Awesome.
Great. Thanks so much, Barry. We really appreciate you taking time because I know you're busy. It sounds like things are really, really going well for you. And congrats on the continued success of the show and on your launch of the new metrics. So we'll keep you in mind.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and enjoy 50 degrees today. It's going to be beautiful today.
Amen,
it's
brother.
It's going to be beautiful.
Have a great one, Barry. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that was some good deep stuff. I like good deep
that
stuff on a
great.
Monday morning. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's,
no kidding.
It's very true, and I say that all the time. You know, one of the things that he says is, like, it's so funny. It's like, how do I know what my customers want? Ask them.
I know.
People are so
isn't that true?
Afraid to ask because they may not like the answers that they hear, but you know what? If you don't like the answers that you hear, it's your job to fix it.
Well, and to really get into the culture and start to understand that is, you know, it's been a while coming, but it's time. It's time that we get back to that. I'm looking out my back window. I have to interrupt, and I have to tell you there are 6 deer in my backyard.
Wow.
So it must be close to spring because we never see deer ever.
No,
and,
no.
You know,
that's
not at this time.
Well, that's a beautiful thing.
That is a beautiful thing.
It's well needed. So, all right, Jan, well, you have yourself an awesome week, and looking forward to talking to next week's guest, and that's coming up quick.
Yeah.
I don't know who it is because I don't have my screen open, but that's all right, guys. And make sure you find us on iTunes, share this, like it. Give us a review, too, if you don't mind. We'd love to get your feedback and find out what kind of people you'd like to have the show. If you know anybody who'd like to be a guest who would fit into the business life and transition theme, please let us know. Right, Jan?
Right, exactly. Thank you so much. Talk to you later.
Yep, you have yourself an awesome week, and we will talk to you next Monday.
Okay, bye.
Okay, that's today's BLT, Business, Life, Transition. You can contact Brian at bbasilico@me.com and Jan at jan.highgameco@gmail.com. Join us again next week for some more great insight about your business, your life, and your transitions. Till next time, thanks for tuning in.